Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We bring on our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who is joining us almost on a weekly basis now. Joe Rexroad comes on the show, and now his good friend Charles, he can hear at all times. Charles, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you?
Good.
So, Charles, we've all of us. So we've talked about Tom Brady heading to the Bucs potentially for the last couple weeks here on the show when we've had you on. Now that we know that that's where it's going to be, what was your initial reaction when it was made? I guess somewhat officially, he hasn't officially signed yet, but it seemed like Tom Brady was going to head for the Tampa Bay Bucs and it was going to become a real thing.
Yeah, I think what was interesting was right up until he called Robert Kraft to tell him, you know, that he had made this decision, there was a feeling in the building that I don't know how seriously the Patriots really took him actually leaving. And I say that because I had a chance to speak to somebody in the building right as we were kind of coming up against it, where the tampering period was going to open. And he was kind of like, he couldn't believe it. He was like, I can't believe we're here. Like, I don't understand why, you know, there's not this dialogue that's, you know, someone hasn't started the dialogue. And, I think when Tom Brady called Robert Kraft to say, you know, I've made a decision, and they met, and it wasn't a, like, here's your opportunity to kind of change this meeting. It was a, hey, I'm doing this, and, you know, I just have, out of respect for you, I want you to understand my decision, and, you know, let's leave on good terms and all that. I'm interested to see now how the narrative plays outside of New England, because there's a steel curtain there, and not a ton of stuff comes out, but it seems like when it comes out, it really comes out. And I think that, I'll be completely honest with you, I think the Patriots were shocked by this. I think part of the reason why everyone's going, well, what's the plan right now? What are they doing? And nothing's happening is because they didn't have a plan. There was no plan. There was no plan to trade for Andy Dalton. I actually think Andy Dalton, if that deal was going to go down, at least up until yesterday, the odds were he was going to end up in Chicago. And I think what changed that was the Nick Foles deal. So I don't think right now, I think the Patriots right now are sort of failing without a map. I don't think they were expecting Tom Brady to leave. I think when it happened, it surprised them a little bit. And now they're trying to sort of figure out what exactly do we want to do at the quarterback spot. So interesting to say the least. And with the Buccaneers, you know, good for having the guts, because I think the way that they pushed it was the way they had to push it, which was, hey, from the owner to the janitor, we're completely on board with this. We want to do everything we can to make this work. And, you know, if we've got to add other players around you, we're willing to do that. You know, let's get this done. And, you know, Arians, I would say if there are a few people who can really deliver a sales pitch in the NFL, Bruce Arians is probably in the top two or three guys. Like, he could not be more different than Bill Belichick that way.
Well, speaking of adding players, Charles, you were the one who brought up this Antonio Brown thing, which I'm seeing all over the place now. And right. I must give you credit for your Instagram stalking, by the way, for being tapped into that. But how viable is that? Could that possibly happen?
Look, the thing is, there's like a million things that have to happen before the Buccaneers could even consider it. So I spoke to somebody at the league yesterday, and I said, okay, where are we at? You know, are we still in the same holding pattern with Antonio Brown? He said, yeah, you know, nothing's changed, and there's no timeline. And, you know, I think part of this has shifted into kind of a mental health aspect for the league. And so, you know, I think there may have to be, you know, some sort of mental health hurdles for Antonio. It's not just a meeting with Roger and then, you know, meeting with some lawyers or whatever. you know, I think that his mental health is a concern now, given what sort of transpired over the last, 12 months on his social media accounts outside of football. So that's complicated for him to even be considered. The league has to be able to tell a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you sign him, we're not going to place him on the commissioner's exempt list. We're going to wrap this and everybody can move forward. And then when you get onto the football field aspect of it, Mike Evans is in the middle of this deal. I think you can sell it to there's a lot of sort of dialogue that's got to go on with guys on the roster. So, Chris Godwin, hey, you're going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. Pretty important year for you. We're going to bring in a guy that's going to eat in pure catches. We're going to bring in a guy who's potentially going to eat into your catches, Mike Evans. Great fit schematically from the football standpoint, but, you guys have to be on board with this because you want to win a Super Bowl. That's what this is about. We've brought in Tom. We've got a 1 to 2 year window here. Let's maximize it as much as possible and sell other players on it. So it's not as simple as Tom Brady just saying, hey, this is a guy that I respect a lot. He really practiced his butt off. He gave 100% when he was, on the field in practice and the one game I played with him. Let's sign him and they do it. It's not that simple. And really, I even think the Glazer family would have to kind of lean on Roger Goodell a little bit, which is not one of the things Antonio Brown has not had, an owner leaning on the commissioner to, hey, let's figure out let's put the plan in place to get this done.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us. And Charles, Joe and I have been talking all week long about this crazy trade that sent DeAndre Hopkins from the Houston Texans to the Arizona Cardinals. We've even called it maybe one of the worst lopsided trades in NFL history that we can remember. What did you make of the trade by the Texans to send DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals and really all the drama that's followed Bill O'Brien with that?
Well, O'Brien, there's no question. There's always been this sort of feeling inside the Texans franchise, including people that are there, people who have left, that what he has always been reaching for, going back to when Rick Smith was the general manager, Bill O'Brien talks to Bill Belichick. He talks to Sean Payton. These are two guys that have an immense amount of power in their organization, but especially Belichick. And I think in O'Brien's mind, it is the power of your organization has to flow from your coach. And particularly as it pertains to any football operations and even, the financial side of it, the coach should be the person, who's ultimately at the controls. And I've heard for years, and I even wrote about it in the midst of some of their success with Rick Smith, that the rift existed because Bill O'Brien wanted more power in the organization. They did not react well to that. Well, what's happened since? He's done nothing but, the split with Rick Smith was absolutely, it was a winning situation for Bill O'Brien. Brian Gain coming in and then being shuffled out after only 1 year was a winning situation for Bill O'Brien. Them not adding a general manager, which people were saying, look, they're not going to hire a GM. He's going to be the GM. This whole thing has been trending toward this. This is exactly what he wants. That trade is an extension of this. He can do whatever he wants, just like the Laremy Tunsil trade, just like the Jadeveon Clowney situation. He can send guys out the door no matter what the talent level is. He can fire sale them off if he feels like he wants to do that. And the owner's not stepping in to stop any of this. So I think, to me, the first thing I thought when I saw that is I'm like, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm questioning whether I'm signing a long-term deal with this organization. Like, you're going to offer me a ton of money, but I'm sitting here and Clowney's out the door for really an undervalued package. And they didn't shop him when they should have. DeAndre Hopkins is out the door for really an undervalued package. You get another old running back. Great. Congratulations. And then you're going to pay Laremy Tunsil. He's going to be the highest paid left tackle in the league, which, by the way, you acquired him without having the extension in place. That's going to cost you. A lot of bad general managing going on by Bill O'Brien, frankly. And it's hard to really and the DeAndre Hopkins stuff that came out, sort of Michael Irvin opening his mouth and talking about maybe some of the other aspects of Bill O'Brien's relationship with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm telling you right now, that's not the only guy. Okay. Like, it's not, there are other guys and there are other weird stories that I have heard out of that organization. So it's just not great guys dealing with Bill O'Brien in that locker room all the time. And it's like that New England Bill Belichick. The difference is what hey, you go to the Super Bowl every other year for the last 20 years, basically. And so you deal with it.
Well, I mean, you live in Houston, Charles. Who is the least popular sports figure in Houston right now?
Oh, it's not even a question. I mean, it's been a running thing for a couple years now. I think the way the Clowney trade went down and the Tunsil trade went down, fans lost their minds and they're like, this is ridiculous. But Hopkins, the difference with Hopkins was Clowney wanted more money. There were some public aspects to sort of the feuding that was going on with Clowney's camp. Tunsil, I think the negative reaction to the Tunsil deal was just that they had screwed up the offensive line for so long that fans are like, geez, this is so messed up that you have to go get Laremy Tunsil and give up so much to get him. And this is the end result of your inability to fix the line for years. So that's another, you know, negative thing in his camp. But then Hopkins, I would say other than J.J. Watt, and, you know, I would put Hopkins and Deshaun Watson right on the same level. People here love Nuke Hopkins. I mean, it's just and he gives them no reason to dislike him. He goes out, he performs. He's Deshaun Watson's number one guy. I think 30% of Deshaun's attempts were going to Nuke Hopkins. Not a problem off the field. And so when this happens, no one could believe it. Like, it was funny because I had people tell me when it first went down, they thought it was like a fake Adam Schefter account. They're like, oh, this is somebody got burned here. And, so to see it go down hurts, even when you hear the money aspect of it, you know. And he does. He wants $20 million a season, absolutely. He sees all these other wide receivers paid and says, I'm a top five wide receiver. It's time for me to get – Amari Cooper and Nuke Hopkins. I mean, let's be real here. Hopkins, 100%. Yes. And Amari Cooper just signed a 5-year, you know, $100 million deal. And so there's that aspect of it. But when all this other stuff comes out, it doesn't help the situation. And then the Stephon Diggs trade on top of it just makes it look like, you know, you'd rather have a first-round pick than a second-round pick in David Johnson. You know, the Arizona Cardinals could not get rid of David Johnson fast enough. They wanted to do it last year and couldn't do it.
Yeah, David Johnson and his deal. So thank you, Bill.
And his deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, here in Nashville, Charles, we're wondering, you mentioned Clowney. We're wondering about, you know, the market for Jadeveon Clowney because, of course, Titans traded Jarrell Casey for a 7th-round pick yesterday to the Broncos. Clear salary dump. They could get into that. Vrabel coached him in Houston.
Right.
What do you think about that? What is the reasonable market for him, and how many suitors does he have right now?
Well, so Clowney coming into this free agency was aiming for – I mean, like, he wanted – to be the highest paid defensive player. I mean, that he wants to be in that territory. He wants to be right there. And, you know, so I think he was looking at a deal and, you know, hey, $22, $23 million a year. That was not at all what I had heard. So when I went around the combine and I tried to shape up his market, and then I'll be real with you, this year the combine numbers were a little wonky. Like, they were a little weird. And it was because I think a couple of things were happening. Free agency was pushed so far off that NFL teams weren't giving accurate numbers to agents because they were afraid that things were going to get shopped. Like, hey, if I give you a number here, you're going to run it around. That's how you end up with Jack Conklin with $18 million with the Jets, which was never real. I heard Jack Conklin, $17 million with the Washington Redskins. That was never real. So I think some fake numbers were getting out. Now, with Clowney, I think I was getting an accurate read. And what I heard was, you know, probably 20, 21, like right in that sort of DeMarcus Lawrence range, what he got from the Cowboys, which is going to come in at about $20 million a year. Okay, well, that was short for Clowney. He wanted to maximize beyond that. And you're going to sit there and go, well, what's the difference between 20 and 23? In his mind, I think it was pretty big. And that was part of why he engineered this situation with Seattle, was to hit free agency. He wanted to max and be the highest paid defensive player. So his market has been soft. Interestingly enough, I think the Cowboys are a team that, you know, might have thought of being interested in him, you know, but I think the market is just too whacked out. And, you know, you look at Philadelphia, I think that's a team that maybe kind of would have thought, you know, they wanted to be interested in, but not at 23. No one's coming in anywhere near that number. So he's going to have to revise his thought process a little bit. And the reason why he's not worth that money is just because the end of the day, your sack totals, you can't have uneven years. You need to be a consistent sack total guy. The Cowboys didn't even want to pay DeMarcus Lawrence $20 million a year because they're like, we want you at 15 every year. We want you to be that guy to make $20 million. And he wasn't even there. So Clowney's great player against the run. You know, a good pass rusher who definitely is a pressure player, applies pressure, but he's never reached that ceiling that people had for him. I would say he's like a 90 percenter. He's a guy who got 90% of the way. The problem is that extra 10% is what takes you to the very top of the heap.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Charles, thanks so much for joining us as always, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, fellas. Stay safe, all right?
You too.
You too, bud.
When we come back, we'll react to some of what Charles had to say there, including what is the market for Jadeveon Clowney, who could be interested in his services outside of the Tennessee Titans. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.